book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace. I thank you, Father, for what you do here during Sunday school hour and the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for our children's churches, Lord, that are taking place right now. We ask you, God, to bless and help and, Lord, do what needs to be done in each of their lives. And we thank you for those in the auditorium this morning. God, we need your help. We need your power. This preacher needs you. We need your power. Needs your wisdom. And, Lord, we just want to be what we should be this morning. We want to do what we should that you'd want us to do. We want to say the things, Lord, you'd want us to say. And, Father, when it's all said and done, we just trust that you'll be honored and glorified, and you'll be able to do a work in each of our hearts this morning that needs to be done. And we're just going to thank you for it and praise your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I suppose that everybody is going to realize that the statement that I'm going to make is just a simple truth statement. It's very simple. We look around, we see all kinds of people. We see different races of people. We see people with different jobs and all kinds of things like that. We're different, but there's basically two classes of people upon the face of this earth. God has identified them, and they're called the lost, or the unbeliever, and the believer. You this morning are one of those. You either are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or you are an unbeliever. And what I want to do this morning, I want to do my best to try to preach a message which I've entitled Saving Faith. I just want to present a very simple message this morning. What does it take to be saved? Every person I think here, you're here for a reason. You're here because you chose to come, and we thank God for that. But I don't know what's in your heart, and you don't know what's in my heart. What I'm saying, the importance is that we know what the Bible says about saving faith. You see, the difference between a Christian and an unbeliever is a Christian lives by faith. That's the way we live. We have faith in God. We have faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're different than the unbeliever. We're not picking on the unbeliever. We're just saying that they don't have that faith. They don't live for God. They don't walk with God because they do not have that saving faith. So I want to this morning just look and see, because the question was asked in the text that we read here, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? If you ask that question this morning, what must I do to be saved? In other words, what is the human responsibility that I must undertake in order to be saved? That's basically what he was saying. And the answer he got was a very good answer, because he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." He didn't say, "Go out and treat your neighbor good." It's a good thing to do. He didn't say, "Go out and join a church." It's a good thing to do. He didn't say, "Go and get baptized." Good thing to do. He didn't say, live the rest of your life without sin. Be a good thing to do. But he didn't say any of those things. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Okay, so what is your human responsibility in salvation is to believe. To believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. You see, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you all understand this. But God sent his Son to this earth to pay the cost for your sin and my sin, and for the sin of all the world. And when Jesus on the cross of Calvary died there, he was dying for your sin, my sin, and the sin of all the world. He took care of everything that needed to be done. God the Father accepted the work of his Son on the cross as the payment for your sin and for my sin. Amen. Now God offers to all men salvation. He offers to you this morning salvation. Salvation through Christ Jesus, who has paid the cost of your sin. Amen? So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. So the answer was that they gave him here was, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on Christ. We want to look a little bit this morning and see what it means to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, over 150 verses talks about either belief or faith in connection with salvation. You must believe. Now, you must believe here. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning, because there's a lot of believing here. But that'll never get you to heaven. One man said one time, "There's going to be a lot of people miss heaven by 18 inches. In other words, they believed in their head, but they never believed in their heart. You understand what I'm saying? But so I don't want that to happen to anybody here in this room. I want you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart. Believe in him and trust in him, and know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. Amen? So what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It means basically to put your whole faith, now we'll break this down, but your whole faith, trust in Jesus Christ. Not anyone else, not yourself, not anyone else, but Jesus Christ and him alone. He's the only one that can save you. Do you understand that? This preacher can't save you. There's not a person in this room can save you. I can tell you the way to be saved. I can point you to Jesus, who is the Savior, but I can't save you. Only God can save you, and him alone. Amen. So we need to understand that we need to put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, not someone else's, but our Savior. He saved us, gave us eternal life. So we want to this morning to look at things. There's three steps that I want to break it down into. Now, I know it all happens, but I want to break it down into three steps that will help, I believe, for you to understand this morning what it means to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The first step is you must hear. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear the truth of the gospel. That's the first step. Somewhere you must hear it. That's why we've got a thing called Missionary Hall back there with 32 missionaries that this church supports on a monthly basis. We're trying to get the word of God all around the world. And I know this is just one church, but we want to help in that, getting the word of God. Why? If they don't hear, they can't be saved. Think about when you got saved. Was it because someone told you how to be saved? Someone told you the gospel message? Sure it was. or you wouldn't be saved here today. Somebody told you how to be saved, told you what the wonderful truth of the gospel is. So we've got to hear that Jesus Christ wants to save us and that Jesus Christ will save us, and we've got to hear that message. That's the first step. I'm going to take you over to the book of John. Hold your place here, but go to the book of John, the 5th chapter. See, in chapter 5, did I tell you chapter 5? Chapter 5, Gospel of John, verse 24. It's a very wonderful verse of Scripture. Listen to what he says. Listen to what God says. This is his word, isn't it? It's God's word. So what he says is true, right? Listen, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. See, you've got to hear the word of God. And he says, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What most folk don't realize is we're dead in trespasses and sin. We need life. We need new life in Christ. And when you hear the word of God and you believe the word of God, and we'll look at something else in a moment, when you believe the word of God, that's how you're coming to Christ. You believe, you hear. So it's a necessity that you hear the word of God. That's why I encourage here in our auditorium, and you do a good job. But I'm just saying to you, we need to be quiet. We need to listen. Why? Because the word of God's being preached, and you need to hear it. You say, well, I'm already saved. Somebody else needs to hear it. We need to hear the word of God. Amen? See, so that's the first step. You got to hear the word of God. The second step is then you believe. You believe what you've heard. Now, I want to talk about that moment because it's important that you believe. It's important that you hear. It's important by mental belief that you will accept that and say, I believe it. It's good and right that you do that, but there's something else must be done. But you're to believe the message. The message is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, amen? And he wants to save us, wants to give us eternal life. That's the message, you see? And we believe that, amen? It's right to believe it in your head, but it has to go further than that. It has to be something that is believed in your heart. See, is there any way today that I could talk you out of the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? Is there any way that I could talk you out of this morning that he died on the cross for your sins? You see, that's the reason I can't talk you out of that, because it's worse than here. It's more than deeper than here. It goes down here. You see, it's a heart belief. You believe Christ. You believe in him, you see. And that's a heart belief. Look at, if you're still in John, the 5th chapter, 40th verse. And you will not come to me that you might have life. You see, we might hear the word of God, but we refuse to come to him. We refuse to believe it. You say, I don't believe that. My daughter Lori and her husband Chuck, Lori was saying, yesterday Dad on visitation said we just run into all don't want to hear groups. She said everywhere we went, they didn't want to hear. They'd tell us they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to know. They didn't, you know. Well, if you hear and then won't accept it, won't believe it, some folk don't even want to hear. Amen? Just don't want to hear. So you must hear the word of God. And then you must believe the word of God, you see. And that's important that you believe it up here. It's important that you believe that. But let me say also, there is a third thing we must do. We must, once we've heard, once we believe, we must trust. We must trust Jesus Christ from the bottom of our heart that he is the Savior, he's the Son of God, and he's the one who died on the cross for our sins, and we're putting our faith and trust in him and nowhere else. See, if you say this morning, well, I'm saved this morning, you know why I know I'm saved? Because I treat my neighbor good. You're not saved if you're trusting in that. You hear this, preacher? You're not saved if you're trusting in that. You say, well, I'm saved because I belong to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you're trusting in being a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're lost. It's a good thing to be a member here. I recommend it. But that doesn't save you. You say, well, I've been baptized. Well, that's a great, wonderful thing if you've been baptized, but that'll never save you. It's belief and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not in a preacher, not in a deacon, not in somebody else, not in mom and dad, not in, I don't care who it is, it doesn't matter. It's got to be in Christ, the Son of God. Now, you agree with that? You believe that's scriptural? Believe that's Bible? You know, I say sometimes, if you don't believe that's Bible, stand up with your Bible and tell me where I'm wrong. Either it's true or it isn't. See, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you some examples from the Word of God. In Mark, if you'll turn with me over to the book of Mark, the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. And listen as we start reading in verse number 25, fifth chapter. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, did you hear that? She heard of Jesus and came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he heard round about to see her, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plagues. Now, if you look at this portion of scripture, as I just mentioned in verse 27, she heard. You have to hear. See, that's why Satan do anything he can to keep people out of church. That's why he does everything he can to keep you from reading your Bible. How often do you read your Bible? Just in your own mind. You don't have to tell me. How often do you ever read your Bible? You pick it up, and I mean really read it and study it. Let me tell you, Satan don't want you to read the Bible. See, the Word of God is powerful. It'll do something, but you've got to hear. That's why every person needs to be in church, in a good fundamental Bible-believing church, every Sunday to hear the Word of God. We need to hear God's Word. See, and then she came to him. Why did she come to him? Because she believed what she heard. She said, this man can heal me. So she came to him because she not only heard it, she believed it. Amen. She believed it, you see. And so then we find that in verse number 29, 27, 29, that she touched him. Why? Because she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. So she went on with that faith, not just talking about it. She had heard it, she believed it, but she done something about it. And that's where trust comes in. You can say, I believe about God. I believe, I've heard the gospel. I believe it. Folks, you've got to put it in action. You've got to trust him as your personal savior. You may know for the rest of your life that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's who he said he was. But if you've never placed your faith, your trust in him, that's not trust. That's not Bible believing. You've got to trust him and him alone. Look over in the book of Acts. Chapter 8. Verse 29. Chapter 8. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? This of some himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now you've got to understand, what did Philip do? He caused him to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. You must hear. You understand? You must hear it. Now, folks, you could be sitting here this morning and not hearing it. You could have your mind a million miles away. You could be thinking about other things and not really hearing the word of God. But Philip opened his mouth and began to preach unto him Jesus Christ. That's what I want to preach unto you this morning, is Jesus Christ. You must believe. You must believe in him, you see. So, through those verses that I read unto you, in verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus, he heard it, and this man believed it. You say, how do I know that? Well, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Somewhere along the line, in that preaching and in him telling him about Jesus, he talked to him about baptism. And this Ethiopian eunuch said, what hinders me from being baptized? He believed what Philip taught him. Amen. See, you have to hear and you have to believe it. So he said, I believe it. He said, so why can't I get baptized? And of course, we know what the Philip done. He said it to him. You'll notice in verse, I think it's verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now he commanded, and I'll go ahead and read that next verse, and he commanded the chariots to stand still, and they went down before both into the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You see, what he said was, he said, yeah, you can get baptized, but first of all, you've got to believe with all your heart about Jesus. That Jesus is the Son of God and he died on that cross for your sins. And Philip says, you know what? I believe. And because of his belief, he trusted Christ. We know he trusted Christ because he went down into them baptismal waters. That doesn't save you, but he went down in them baptismal waters and got baptized because he had heard and because he had believed. He wanted to be a Christian. He wanted to be saved. And so what did he do? He followed that salvation up with baptism. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Never has, never will. But you must hear, you must believe. But then, do we get baptized? Why? Sure we do. Why? I believe it's the first step of obedience. I believe it says, you know what? I believe, and I'm going to show forth my belief in the baptism waters. I'm going to let people know I believe. Amen? So you know that not only did he hear, not only did he believe, but he trusted Christ. Look over in Acts, the 16th chapter. Look at verse 30 and 31. We read these, but it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. In our text, What did Paul and Silas do? They preached unto him Jesus. You have to hear the word of God. You have to hear about Jesus, what Jesus will do for you. And then this man believed. He believed what Paul and Silas had told them. And the Bible even says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, seeing all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. See, he not only heard it, he believed it, but he showed forth that he had put that trust in Jesus Christ. He was a happy man, joyful man. He said, Paul and Silas, I'm going to take care of your stripes on your back. I'm going to feed you. And he said, well, I'm even going to let you baptize me. I'm a believer now. You understand what I'm saying? You hear this, preacher? There has to be trust in Christ. So you can say you believe up here, but it's got to come from here. Amen? It's got to come from here. So anyway, I want to just consider two simple illustrations that might help you to understand what I'm talking about. Let's just say for a moment, let's make everybody happy that everybody in here just received, just inherited a great fortune. Y'all for it? Amen. Anyway, you just was given a great fortune. Somebody left you a lot of money. You say, what am I going to do with all of this money? Where am I going to put it? A friend of yours says, let me tell you something. I've been banking with certain bank down here for 40 years. They have never lost one penny of my money. They've always treated me right. They've always done well. And I would suggest you put that money in that bank. Now, the man heard the advice of a friend that said, go put the money in Perfect State Bank, whatever. And he said, and so he goes down the next day and comes in there carrying his fortune. And that shows me he believed what the friend told him. But when he laid all of that fortune up there on the counter and deposited in that bank, I want to tell you that proved his belief. There he put his trust in that bank. I'm saying to you, you can hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, but you've got to put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. We could use the same illustration about a doctor. Brother Frank Mumall is going to be operated on. He's telling me he kind of likes this doctor, and I that's a good thing. He's got confidence in him. He's heard about this doctor from somebody. He went to see that doctor the other day. Amen. Went to see him. He believed it. Not only did he hear he was a good doctor, he believed it. So he went to see him. March the 3rd, I got that right? March the 3rd, he's going to place himself under the knife of that doctor. That's trust. That's when it'll prove whether Frank really believes in that doctor or not. He puts his body in the hands of this doctor. Amen. You could have all kinds of illustrations. You could talk about the airplane. You go and you're told that a certain airlines is a better airline. That's where you go when you buy a ticket. You're showing you believe that someone told you about that airlines and it's a good airlines and you buy the ticket. But you don't ever put your trust in that airlines till you get on that airline and sit down in that seat and let that pilot take you up in the air. Then that's trust. Do you understand what this preacher's saying? You can say, I believe up here about God. I've heard that all my life from people. Yeah, I believe God. I believe, but they don't believe in him down here. When you believe in him down here, you put your whole trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you see. Now, just listen for just a few moments. What is believing? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to accept him as God's gift to mankind. God gave us a gift, the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe God sent his Son as a gift to mankind to die on the cross, to be buried and rose again? Do you believe that? Now, you've heard it. I just told you. Do you believe it? See, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to him. Come unto me and I will give you rest, Jesus says. You not only hear it, you say you believe it, you've got to come to him. Place your faith and your trust in him. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like you to turn to the book of John. I don't know where you're at, but the book of John, the 10th chapter of the book of John. Look at verse number 9. Jesus says, I am the door. That's the 10th chapter. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Listen. Jesus says, I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the door. Jesus said, if any man enter in. That means you believe he's the door. You believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. So what do? You enter into that door. You put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Do you hear me? That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John, the 4th chapter of John. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." It's talking about a water out of a well. It would be drawn out of a well, and if you drink of it, you'll be thirsty again. You're thirsty today, you'll be thirsty tomorrow sometime. Then in verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now what God says is, He said, "I'm the water of life. I'm life." He said, "You've got to drink of me." It's not enough just to know and hear that He's the water of life. You've got to believe it, and you've got to put your faith. You've got to drink of Him. Look over in chapter 7 of that same book, chapter 7, verse 37. Here's what He said. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst,'" what does He say? "Let him come unto me and drink." See, if you're thirsty, if you're without Christ, you're not saved, you need to come to Christ and drink of Him. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So what I'm simply saying to you today, wouldn't it be a right thing for us to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today and make sure today when we walk from this place that we're ready to meet God? You see, the Bible tells us, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why are you calling on Him? Because you've heard it. Because you've believed it. And now you're calling on Him. You're asking Him to save you and give you everlasting life. You see, that's salvation. That's saving faith. You understand this, preacher? Amen. Understand what I'm saying? You see? Now you see, you say, "Brother Russell, you can't read my heart." I sure can't. I don't know anything about your heart. I have enough trouble with mine. I don't know how to read your heart, but I want to tell you what, God reads your heart. And right now, if He's giving you doubt about your salvation, you're saying, "You know what, I don't know if I've really ever, I've heard it, but I say I believe it, but have I ever trusted? Have I ever put my faith, my trust in Christ?" And if not, wouldn't this be a wonderful time this morning, right here in this place? Just put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Trust Him for eternal life. And wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a right, proper thing to do, to get that thing settled so you can go to heaven when you die? Amen. Amen. And it would please God, because that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to put faith and trust in Him. See, that pleases God. That's saving faith. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, please.